far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
This morning. Well, stand up, let's worship together. Come on. Y'all excited to be here? Yeah? Our souls awake to you and lift a song. We're awake, right? Yeah? We've seen the things that you have done, and still we know the best is yet to come. There's more to come. Open the gates and let your glory come down. Open our hearts and let our worship pour out. Sounds of victory. Woo! You're changing everything. Open the gates. Open the gates and let your glory come down. Open our hearts and let our worship pour out. Sing it out. Come flood this space. No one else can take your place. Come have your way. No one else can take your place. Open the gates and let your glory come down. Open the gates and let your glory come
morning, church family. How are you? It is good to be here worshiping together, and I want to welcome again all of those of you that are at home online worshiping with us today. Thank you for tuning in and joining us. We have got a great service planned this morning, and so I'm excited that you are here today. If you're a guest, I just want to give you a special welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob Zimmerman, one of the pastors here at Westgate. And if you're a guest, we would love for you to take just a moment and fill out the connection card that you'll see in the pew in front of you. If you're at home online, there is a form that you can actually fill out. I believe there is a button right underneath the live stream that you can push on our website and fill that form out. We would just love to know that you are here. But for those of you that are here in the room, we would also love for you to take that connection card at the end of the service out to our guest center in the main entrance. And we have some hosts that will answer any questions you might have about the church or how to get connected. But mostly, we would just love to give you a small gift to say thank you for being here today. And so please be sure to do that. Again, regular attendance. As you fill that out and put your prayer requests on it, you can turn it in with your offerings at the end of the service in the back in the buckets as you leave today. A couple of things before we jump right back into worship. Number one, we want to remind you that today is the last day to sign up for our IF Gathering Women's Conference, so please be sure to stop by the table, or you can do so online, but that closes today, so be sure to do that. Second thing is, we have been going through the Easter season, as we are going to be moving into these next many weeks, continuing to get into God's Word, but talking about life on mission with Him, one of the important things we're going to be doing is having a baptism service at the very beginning of May, May 2nd. And if that is a step that you have never taken in your life to proclaim publicly, I have chosen to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to plan on being a part of that service with us. On Sunday, May 26th, we're going to have a meeting immediately following our second service, and we would love for you to join us so that we could talk to you just a little bit about your step of faith in following Jesus, but also following Him in baptism. It is an important and essential step each of us take as followers of Jesus Christ as we continue in our journey with Him. And so we would love for you to join us and be a part of that service on May 2nd. Now this morning, as we move towards the rest of the service, we have got something special for you today. Our service is going to be formatted just a little bit different, as we're going to be doing a first class of a class we're going to be doing over the next 6 weeks together entitled Life on Mission. And I'm super excited. Our staff and leadership has been pouring a lot into this. But before we go into it, we want to take a time just to pause and take communion together this morning. And to truly remember the very reason that we are on mission with Jesus. It's because of all that He has done and all that He has accomplished for us. If you have your communion elements, I would love for you to just pull them out at this time. And I think one of the essential components anytime we come to the Lord's Supper is that we would pause and just take inventory with the Lord of where our hearts are at. And so can I encourage you just to take a minute to pause? And we're going to pause here in prayer together. And just go before the Lord and ask the Lord, is there anything in my heart and in my life where maybe there's sin that I'm holding on to, or something, maybe I have an issue between me and another brother or sister in Christ that hasn't been dealt with? And use this time to go to the Lord, to seek His forgiveness, and to give those things to Him as we prepare to worship Him by remembering His death on the cross. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time that we have to gather together here today and to worship you. And Father, we thank you this morning as we reflect on your son's life, but also death and resurrection on the cross. We thank you, Father, that we can have a greater and deeper understanding of the depth of your love for us as we reflect on the truth that while we have sinned against you, that God, you would pursue us to the ends of the earth, that you would literally send your son into this world to die, to take our sin, to take our sin upon himself, but also to take our punishment that was due us. And then as we read in your scripture, Father, that it tells us that you also give us your righteousness, that when we place our faith in you, that you, Father, look down from heaven and you see your son's sacrifice on our behalf. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for that incredible gift that you have given us. We worship you, and we ask that you would be glorified as we take this time together, not only to confess our sin before you, but, Father, to remember all that you have done in pursuing us. The scriptures tell us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And when he had given thanks, he instructed his disciples and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember the Lord's death together. In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." As we think of Paul's words in that passage, "I have been crucified with Christ," it is a recognition that because of what Christ has done and accomplished on the cross, it changes and transforms the very direction and purpose of our lives. And as we take communion together and remember his blood that covers over our sin, it is also a reminder of the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ, and that he truly has taken our lives and not only saved us, but he has set our lives for a purpose and for a direction. And for that, we worship him. Let's take this cup together. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to pause this morning and to remember all that you have done for us. And as we do so, Lord, it is a reminder not just of what you have accomplished for us, but Father, truly what you have created us for and purposed our lives for. Father, you have created us to give you glory in all things, but also to take the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone that our lives would touch in this world that surrounds us. And so, Father, I pray that you would truly set our hearts on mission because of the love that we have for you, because of what you have done for us. We love you and we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, church family, our staff and church leadership have been working for many, many weeks, even months, on this class Life on Mission that we're going to be going through as a church for the next 6 weeks. And as an introduction to that today, we wanted to begin it here in this room. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Mike Judge to come on up and get us started. Would you welcome him as he comes?
Thank you, Rob. You guys, Life on Mission. Wow, if you haven't been here for a little while, you maybe haven't heard us talking about it, but this is a really big deal. Today we are beginning it. This is going to be awesome. We're going to talk about what does it mean to live on mission? How do we share our faith? All of that good stuff in this class. It's going to be great. Oh, hey, Steve.
Hey, you got a minute, right, Pastor Mike?
Could have maybe picked a better time.
Well, you said to come to you anytime, and so I have questions.
I did say that, okay, didn't I?
You're talking about life on mission, and I want to share my faith, but I'm kind of awkward at times, and I talk to people maybe sometimes at the wrong time, and so I need some tips.
Okay, some tips about how do you share your faith?
Yeah, how to share my faith. What do I say?
It's not too hard, don't worry. Okay. A few things you need to remember. It takes a little bit of practice. You want to make sure you show them that there's something different about you.
Something different about
you. You want to make sure you let them know that Jesus is the only way.
Jesus, only way.
He left, but he's coming back again.
Yeah, okay, he left, coming back.
Yep, great. And that through his blood, he washes us white as snow.
Through his blood, the blood washes us white as snow.
Yep, that's great. That's the basics. There's probably some other things that'd be good for us to talk about.
No, that would probably be too much. So I think I got it. Those are good. You're the best, Pastor Mike.
Well,
yeah, I mean, well, second best. Pastor Rob's the best, but you're pretty close. So I think I got it. You gave me some good tips.
All right, Steve. Good luck, brother. Good luck.
Okay. I need to remember this. Okay, so it's Jesus is the only way, and that he left, but he's coming back. In his blood were washed and made white as snow. And there's something different about me. I can do this.
Excuse me.
This is the way.
Hi.
And then,
excuse me. Hi. I'm lost,
okay.
And my phone isn't working. Could you tell me how to get downtown?
Jesus.
Excuse me?
It's the only way.
Uh-huh. So is that like the highway? What direction is that?
Left.
Okay, left.
And then you come back.
Okay.
And there's something different about me. Can you see it?
Yes. Congratulations. Good luck.
Left and then back. There. Oh, the blood. I forgot about the blood. I can never get this right. Okay. I got it. Next time, it's the blood. White as snow.
Hey, have you seen a young boy? I'm looking for my son.
Jesus?
No, his name's Ben. Have you seen him? He's like this tall.
He left.
Oh, so he was here.
And he's coming back.
Oh, is he doing okay? How does he seem?
He needs to be washed.
Washed? What happened?
Well, the blood.
Blood?
Yeah, blood.
No, Ben!
White as snow part, I keep forgetting. And there's something different. Okay, I got it this time. I'm going to be perfect. Jesus, he left. He's coming back. And then blood and...
Oh, jeez. Watch where you're going, guy. You got Kool-Aid all over my shirt.
It's Jesus.
Jeez. We're only two people here. What, did he push you and run away?
No, he left and he's coming back.
He's coming back.
He's
he
coming
better
back
come back
soon.
Or you, Mr. Clean looking like, is going to have to clean my shirt for me.
He'll clean it, and he'll wash it in his blood.
Blood? This is cashmere, baby. You can't wash this in blood.
No, he will. He's going to wash it, and then it's going to be white as snow.
White as snow. Blood things make things red. You're weird,
wait,
man.
Wait, wait. Here.
You're weird, man.
You dropped your drink. I need to show you there's something different about me.
No, thanks.
There's something different.
Thank you, Steve, for writing this beautiful, kind of awkward illustration that is just us showing the life on mission. We are really excited to enter
Don't
these
worry,
funny
I'm not
spaces.
Gonna interrupt her again.
Yeah, now we're just having a normal life conversation. So we are just, excited to have different ways of learning, different ways to engage with material. We're going to start just talking about some different statistics. Actually, we have snacks if you get these questions right. There's some of the outreach and missions leftovers of string cheese and protein, whatever. But we would love for you guys to test yourselves how we're doing on our Life on Mission information, like just some general statistics about Americans Christians in the United States. So the first slide we're going to do is we're going to answer this question, and you're going to hold up how many fingers depending on what your answer is. So the first question is, according to Lifeway research, the majority, 55%, majority of Protestant churchgoers have shared their faith how many times in the past 6 months? I understand that's a lot to wrap your head around. So is it 0 times, 1 to 2 times, 3 to 5, or 6 to 10? So we're going to hold up our fingers. You guys did an excellent job. The answer is 1, 0 times. Isn't that interesting?
Who got it right? It needs a snack.
Yeah, proteins. Who needs some protein
I
this morning?
Back there.
Awesome. Yeah, 0 times. That's the majority. So that we thought was interesting. The next question, what are the top reasons people do not share their faith? So these are the top four. I put them in random order. So are you going to read, is it fear, the lack of opportunity, they don't feel equipped, or they're lacking interest? So let's hold up our fingers. Is it 1, 2, 3, or 4? The answer is 1, fear. You guys are crushing
it. Right. Who needs,
all sorts of snacks for
here
the morning. Oh, yeah. Oh. fruit snacks. Those are actually the order that they were. It was number one was fear, and then unequipped and lack of interest were 9 and 10%, which I thought was really interesting. All right, our next question, number three. What percent of practicing Christians report having two or fewer conversations about their faith with a non-Christian during the past year? So take a second to think it through. So having conversation with a non-Christian, what percent? We're holding up our fingers. The answer is 4. 56%. Isn't that staggering? That's so interesting.
Who got it right and wants
so
a snack this time?
So two or fewer conversations about their faith. That's not even a full gospel presentation. That's just sharing about Jesus and their faith. That is so interesting. It's such a high number. And then the next question, this is exactly why we're doing this class, right? We're just making sure we have information. For those that did have a conversation, so the not 56, they did have a conversation, what percent of practicing Christians came away from that conversation more confident in their own faith? They felt like, oh, I understand my own belief better. Is it 26, 46, 56, or 86? 3, 2, 1, show your fingers. Is it? You are correct. 86%, number 4, were so much more excited. That's almost 9 out of 10. After they did it, they grew in their faith.
I need to throw like a snack at the live stream.
Yeah, you guys are crushing it. Thanks for playing along. Right at the camera. And then just with that same note, people, 9 out of 10 are so much more excited about their own faith, they're confident, and then they also are eager to do it again. 7 out of 10, after they share their faith, are like, yeah, I want to do that again. I realize that that is helping me. And so that's why we're having this Life on Mission class.
And we're really excited about this because as much fun as we're going to have in here today, there is something really powerful about being able to sit after you hear a talk or a message and be able to converse, to be challenged in a way, go practice it, come back, ask your friends, hey, how did you do with this? Where did you struggle? And so the opportunity in the gym is going to give that to us. We'll be around round tables and you'll be able to discuss all about like what's going on, a lot of interaction. And so this helps, right, solidify what we're talking about. And so we're hoping you're going to join us in that. And then the second thing that I am really pumped for is that our high school students are going to be joining in that class. And so we're taking a pause on we normally meet in the refinery, and we're coming in and taking the class all together as a church. Because what happens often is that, especially as kids come through our church, that they get really connected with a kids ministry or a student ministry. And then when they graduate, they don't feel like they belong at the church anymore. It's like they never connected with the church in it of itself. They've connected with just kind of a sub-ministry. And so we're looking at opportunities to bring our students involved with you sitting in here. Like you as an adult believer, even if you don't have students, can make a huge impact on the next generation of believers. And so sitting in class with them, hearing the message is huge and important. And so we're inviting you to be part of that. Our middle school and our elementary kids, while they're not going to be in class, they are going to be hitting on the main points each week. And so for a parent in the room, that means when you get in your car and you start driving home and you ask your kids, hey, what did you learn about today? And you get that one word answer or the I don't know, you'll actually know because you will have sat with them through the class and you get to help, right, as you are the primary disciplers of your kids. And so this is really exciting that our kids in middle school, they're going to be hearing about it, and then our high school students, they're actually going to be participating in the class with us. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is. And another thing you can hear, we're just stacking up reasons this is going to be great.
We're going to give you lots of them.
Is that we have different instructors facilitating the different weeks. And that is something we just value, hearing from different voices, different tones, different life experiences. We are going to ask to communicate together at the tables as we go into the class next week. And so I'm going to introduce our instructors over the next 6 weeks of this Life on Mission class. We're going to show some pictures of these people, and you'll see that we're just real people. And so the first one we have, if you look on your notes, you can guess who is our instructor. The first picture of this really cute kid is Steve. not jewels. So this is Steve.
I had hair. This is why I give Look this us. Picture out all the time to prove I had hair at one point.
So Steve is our student ministries pastor, and this is the Fisher family. He and his wife, Melissa, did this really fun 10-year photo anniversary shoot with this great picture. But Steve will be one of our main leaders. We're excited to hear from him. Other instructors you'll see, we can see the then picture. Look at these little sweet people. There they are. Great. Well, you'll see them. Okay, great. So if you're looking through the instructor list at the thing, you can tell that there's probably two with the same last name, the Judge twins. Here we are. So there is Mike and I. Mike Judge is our adult ministries pastor. He is married to Danielle in that pink beanie, and that's their daughter, Amelia. And then I just am still along for the ride. Love this family. And then our next instructors are... See who we can guess who this is. If you're looking down your list, then you're going to know that this is Erica Fertig. And so Erica, here's the Fertig family. Erica and Mark together are going to be jumping in, teaching with us through different weeks. You'll hear from Mark in a minute. And the Fertig family is our missions partners. They work with Crew at the University of Toledo in the region. And so Westgate partners with them. And then Mark and Erica just have many gifts. They sit in our councils. They're great teammates in adult ministries, outreach and missions, shepherding elders. So Mark and Erica just have tons of experience. And really excited for you guys to learn from them, from their life experiences and where the Lord has led them. And so with that, we're going to bring Mark up. And he's going to start with answering the question, what is a life on mission? Oh, look at this guy. Oh, let's.
I'm really sad that the bow tie for children under 5 is still not a thing, but apparently you don't do pictures with it. But Mike, I think, had the better bow tie in the pictures, so you have to go back and look at the live stream recording to see that. But I'm excited to be with you all here today. I am a shepherding elder here at the church. My name is Mark Fertig. My wife and I, Erica, have been attending just about 7 years, I think. We came to Toledo to take a job with Crew, as Jules mentioned. And my role currently is kind of overseeing all of the ministries in all of Michigan and Northwest Ohio. And Erica puts her time into the local ministry here at the University of Toledo. And so we love what we do. It's not always the easiest job, but I'm excited to share a little bit about our journey. The picture's not up there now, but we have two little kiddos who many of you have led in Awana and some of the other areas and Breathe Ministry with Elsie. And when we're coming back in person, you'll probably see them running around like crazy people as they are. Well, as I was a young college student, I didn't necessarily have it all together, but I had a passion to grow with Christ. I was a new believer, and I knew that I really wanted to pray for missionaries. But it's kind of like this double-edged sword, right? I was praying for missionaries that I knew that God called us to pray. You know, in Matthew 9, where we're going to be today, he says, pray for more laborers. And so I was like praying fervently for more missionaries on the one hand. But then on the other hand, I was praying, God, please don't send me to Guatemala. Now, I don't know why Guatemala. I don't really have anything against that area of the world or speaking Spanish to a degree. But it was kind of like the image of, you know, the greatest sacrifice I could give would be to go to Guatemala, which I've heard is beautiful. So I don't know why I was so averse to it. It really just symbolized this idol that I had in my life, that I didn't really want to surrender everything to him. And so my freshman year in college, while there's many things that I was doing for the Lord, there was just this one big area of my life that I wasn't giving him control, and that was my future, where he would lead me, where he would take me. And I knew that if I gave him complete control, if I gave Jesus everything, I just knew he was going to send me to Guatemala as a missionary. So I did my part here in the States. I stayed safe, and I prayed for more missionaries. Well, the irony of this story is that God answered this prayer, and he answered it in a very, very different way. He called me into full-time missions, and he sent me even further than Guatemala and had me study a language that was even harder than Spanish. I spent 10 years of my life as a missionary in East Asia, and although there were many challenges, those were some of the most beloved times of my and Erica's marriage and our life, just living on mission overseas. Well, most of us can be fearful of what total surrender to Jesus' desires or plans for our lives might look like. And I can come up with all kinds of excuses as to why I might not do what Jesus has commanded me to do, right? Jesus says, love thy neighbor. And I'm like, yes, totally, I'm on board with that. But this week, crazy, I've got, you know, like these three things I got to do and this report I've got to file. Next week, we'll get to that love thy neighbor thing. Jesus says, love thy neighbor. And I'm like, Jesus, do you know who that guy voted for? Jesus says, love thy neighbor. And I'm like, Jesus, last week I took them 2 dozen cookies. I think we're good for another week. Love thy neighbor. Maybe you're like I was, and really still am at times. Maybe you've let fear or your desire to be comfortable control what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're not. Maybe you think that when it comes to sharing your faith, that aspect of the Christian life is best left up to professionals who've been trained and to the ministers and missionaries. Well, as our church endeavors to love the communities around us, to be people who care about those who are in our proximity, you too might have a great uncertainty as to what your part in the Great Commission is. You may be fearful of what a completely surrendered life to Christ might look like. And so when it comes to loving people through evangelism, how do we move from kind of this fearful and reluctant person to more of a surrendered and willing and even joyfully obedient person, disciple? Well, at the end of Matthew 9, as I mentioned, we're going to see Jesus preparing his disciples to begin ministry of gospel proclamation. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew 9. It'll also be up here on the prompt. We're going to be in verses 35 through 38. And it says this, that Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And he was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, for context, we know that Jesus at this point is on a whirlwind tour of healing and teaching and walking from village to village trying to connect with people and connect them with the gospel of the kingdom of God. And as he's going, he's kind of dragging around these disciples with him. And so as the scene is unfolding, we have kind of three different characters. We've got Jesus, we've got the disciples, and then we've got these groups of people, or the audience, the people who are distressed and dispirited. And I would kind of mention that as we've read different passages of Jesus teaching and connecting with people, these groups of people were often very diverse. You've got the Pharisees who are trying to, like, get him, you know, like trying to find him in the fault so they can rebuke him. You've got the scribes who are making sure he's, you know, sticking to the letter of the law. And then you've also got, like, people who are just there to be healed, who want to be cared for and loved and are seeking spiritual guidance. And then at the kind of the fringes, you've probably got a few people who are like, I'm just here for the show. Like, I just want to see what Jesus does next, right? But all of these people, no matter where they come from, Jesus describes them as dispirited. Let me make sure I get it right. distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. And so our first character, Jesus, when he looks and sees these crowds, how does he feel? What is he feeling? And what does that reveal about his heart? Well, what he feels is compassion. And what it reveals about his heart is that he cares for people. He sees beyond whether you're a Pharisee or a scribe or, you know, he definitely interacts with these people differently, but he sees them all as distressed and dispirited. Secondly, our second characters, the disciples, how might they be viewing these crowds? What are they feeling? Well, this passage doesn't actually specifically talk about what they're feeling, but we can see from other passages where the disciples kind of saw people in different ways. Sometimes they're like an inconvenience to the ministry of Jesus. How ironic is that, right? Like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, they're like, hey, they're trying to rebuke her and get her away from Jesus. The children who are wanting to come and see Jesus, they're like, hey, stay back, you know? And he's like, don't forbid the children to come to me. You see, Jesus sees with the heart. He sees to the heart and past the outside, the circumstances that are going on in people's lives. And the disciples, they just kind of see people as the outside and what's going on. What does Jesus want them to do about the crowds? We see this in verse 37. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." He says he wants them to pray. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to pray. And so the prayer, though, is a little bit different. It's not something I would expect when Jesus sees people and he's moved to compassion because they're hurting. You know, I think I would assume there would be some kind of prayer like, you know, pray that they might come to know me, or pray that they might be provided for, pray that, you know, a myriad of things. What he prays, he asks them to pray, the disciples to pray for, is more laborers. And so why? Why that prayer? It's kind of an odd prayer. Why does he want them to start with that and not start with like teaching or reaching out or providing or ministering? He doesn't even ask the disciples to pray for the people. He asks them to pray for more disciples or for more laborers. Well, I think that he answers this prayer in chapter 10, and this isn't going to be up there, but if you move on directly after this action, this is what Jesus does and says. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Further down in verse 7, "And as you go," he's sending them out, "preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How does Jesus answer their prayer for more laborers? He makes them laborers. He answers their prayer with themselves. Much like my own prayers in college of, "Lord, send missionaries," I became that answer to his prayer, or to my own prayers. When he answers that prayer and he sends them out as disciples, this is the beginning, the inauguration of the disciples' ministry of proclaiming the gospel. Up until then, they'd just been, kind of been on the sidelines, maybe a little fearful, maybe a little tepid, maybe a little like, I'm uncertain about this, helping out where they can, but definitely not teaching. And Jesus has now given them authority to go. I think prayer is extremely important. Praying for more laborers is going to hit on something that's going to come up here in a minute. But I think that there are four things that Jesus calls us to in this passage. And these are going to set up kind of the next 5 weeks of our class. You'll see in your notes there's some blanks to fill in. I'm not always good at this, but we'll give it a go. There's a call to see. Just as Jesus sees people and he sees them with compassionate eyes, to do this, we need to see every individual as made in his image. That's an important theological concept. We need to see people as made in God's image. We need to see their needs, their hearts, and their circumstances. And that will mean looking past their skin color, their political affiliation, their demeanor in the moment. Maybe they're being a Karen that day. Looking past their lifestyle or even their age. And so I'm going to throw a couple questions up there. They're going to be real quick, but it's meant to prompt us to say, who are the people, or what keeps you from loving people around you? What are the barriers there? Is it just time? Is it an inconvenience? People annoy you? What keeps you from loving people, from seeing people? Secondly, in what areas of your life do you need to grow in having spiritual eyes? Maybe this is at work. Maybe this is in that mom's work or that workout group or, you know, whatever sphere you might have that you're just not connecting with people and their deep needs. It's a call to see. Secondly, is a call to pray. Jesus calls them to pray. Now, I found through many years of bold and desperate prayers in very hard circumstances that most of the time, the goal of prayer is not so much to change those circumstances, but to change me. God desires so much more that I would be changed. Let me say that again. God's goal in prayer is not so much to change my circumstances, but to change me. And if prayer is something that God uses to conform us more to Christ's heart, what are one or two ways that your prayers are going to need to change? And that's the point of this passage. Jesus calls them to pray for more laborers because they don't have the heart to see people with compassion. And so he wants to do a work in their hearts. He wants to help them prepare for the ministry he has for them. Thirdly, is a call to love others. Even though these disciples, they weren't on the same page as Jesus, how does Jesus shepherd them? Like, he doesn't come up with a big rebuke and put them down. Hey, you're not good Christians. You don't know what you're doing. What's wrong with you? He doesn't directly point out where their hearts are. He gently shepherds them and invites them to see people as he does. He involves them in what his heart beats for, and that's people. He wants people to know the gospel, and he wants the disciples to be deliverers of that hope. And so as we pray, he will change our hearts and allow us to truly love people, to love him, love them with his love. Fourthly, is a call to go. As he has changed my heart, the natural fruit of that overflow is going to be to love others, to do it sacrificially. And then in the end, I'm going to want to go. I'm going to want to connect with people and love them more. I will see people more clearly. I'm going to see their hurts, and I'm going to no longer sit by as people are perishing without the gospel all around me. How might Jesus want to shepherd you as you engage with lost people in your lives? Friends, we want to be a church that emulates our vision, that we would be a Jesus-centered community known for intentionally sharing God's love with our neighbors and with the nations. The ministry of ministering to people and reaching people involves relationships. That's how God's designed it. And at that core is loving people. And loving people is going to require us to give of our time, our finances, of ourselves. And let me tell you that the harvest right now is plentiful, probably greater than any other time in my life. People are distressed and dispirited. They may look like they have it all together on the outside, but they are distressed and dispirited all over the globe. And we have a significant call, but we have a significant opportunity to connect with these people through the gospel and through caring for them and loving them and meeting their needs. And so whether these people are on the right, the left, whether they're African American or Asian American or white, rich, poor, Toledoans, Rossfordians, Oregonians, I'm not sure if those are correct terms, but they are all hurting. They're distressed and dispirited, and the pandemic has shown people just how vulnerable we really are. And at this time, almost anything can be a reason for us to hate our neighbor, right? To make an enemy of a coworker or to lash out on social media. We know what that looks like. We're all on social, most of us are on social media, right? You name it, and we found a way to be divisive about it. And this kind of polarizing effect, it affects how we see people. They become the opposition or someone to be crushed, someone to be hurt, to be put down, to be demonized and made enemies. And so what if we took a moment to see as Jesus sees? Well, then we might see that widow, that new widow on our street and want to reach out with her, to her. We might see that young family who's walking through an extended period of dealing with COVID. We might see that older lady who continues to walk her dog every day and she just prays for an opportunity for someone to connect with because she's just so lonely. We might see that grandfather who hasn't hugged his grandkids in a year. We might see that husband who's out of work and struggling with feelings of insignificance. Jesus' plan for the salvation of the world, as crazy as this sounds, involves you and me, his disciples. It involves us going to lost and hurting people, and even in our own pain, in our own need, as we are walking through this time, we're still called to go. And our first step in this process is to submit humbly ourselves before Jesus through prayer. This puts us in a place to be changed by him. And it's this in this place that we can love lost and hurting people. I think a great step for that would be to come and be involved in this class. Even if you've taken evangelism classes before, to come and be a part of where our church is going and the vision that we have to reach people all around us. If we're going to be a church that fulfills that vision, then we're going to have to start as individuals, surrendering our hearts to Christ. Let me pray as we bring up Mike. You've got Mike and Mark in the morning here. It's not a radio show, but we want to become walk into this kind of from different perspectives. And so he's going to present some fallacies, but let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you call us to be in relationship with you and to be disciples of yours. And so help us to walk humbly, to submit ourselves to you and to see people through your eyes, that we might be forever changed as you use us to change the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Whew, good words, good thoughts, good comments about our world today. You know, I'm excited about this class, and I wasn't making that up earlier before Steve interrupted me. That was funny. But I really am excited about this class, and one of the reasons I'm so excited about is because I just want to talk about what does it really mean to live on mission. Because if I'm being honest today, I would say that one of the greatest areas of misunderstanding that the American church has today is around this topic of what does it look like to be a Christ follower who lives on mission. And I think there's a lot of different places where this comes from, but I think at the end of the day, there's some different pictures where people say, well, we should all love God and share his love with people, et cetera, but there's a million different ways that we apply that, and we can end up with some misconceptions, and we're going to call those fallacies. Now, I know that's not like everyday language, so we're going to do the good definition on the screen right now, maybe our vocab word for the morning, but a fallacy, it can be defined as a mistaken belief, especially one based on a flawed argument. It's a mistaken belief. And I think the greatest, most commonly known fallacy in the, maybe the history of the world, who knows, but is that the idea that the world is flat. Have you guys heard that before? People believed it for forever, right? They believed that. And then one day we realized, no, it's actually round. If you haven't heard that before, by the way, let me just fill you in. But that's a fallacy, and I think people have fallacies sort of like this about what does it mean to live on mission. And so we're going to walk through some of the big five. There's plenty of others that we could cover, but these are maybe some of the big five. And as we do, we're going to kind of set up how our class topics correlate with some of these. And so number one, the first fallacy is that living on mission is only for Christian leaders and evangelists and missionaries. We should throw them into. And when I was in college, I remember referring to this group of people as the super Christians. I don't think that's a technical term, but, you know, people use that. And I think there's two different flavors of this one. One is this idea that these people, this select group of people, do all of this on their own. And then maybe a kind of second flavor is that, well, church members are involved, but they just basically, their role is to bring people to the super Christians, and then they'll share their faith, preach the gospel, etc. And the reality is, though, when we look at Scripture, that we see that the Great Commission is for all people. This is what Mark was just talking about, right? And we talked about this in our Follow Me series in the last couple months. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, right? That's the core job description item for us as Christ followers, is to go and glorify God, make disciples. And some people want to hide behind this idea that the Bible does talk about pastors and evangelists, et cetera, that is a piece that we see in Scripture. And so therefore, it's okay for there to be certain people who do it and some people who don't. But I think when we look at Scripture, we see that it's so common that everybody in the church would do this and be involved with this in one way or another. And so I would say that this is, it's biblical for everyone to live on mission, and it's also practical, right? Because I'll just be honest, being a pastor doesn't really give me a leg up in the society today to being on mission and evangelizing to non-church people. But you know what does give people a leg up today? Is having real relationships with them, trusted relationships. People who you know, people who know that you care about them, that's a leg up. When those people come and share truth, that's an advantage. As Mark was just talking about, that's where those conversations can begin and really go well and have great success. And so in this Life on Mission class, we're going to be talking about this idea of circles. Circles are our spheres of influence, the people that are around us. How do we minister effectively to those people? And so next week, Pastor Steve is going to be teaching. You guys, I'm so excited about this. He's got this really great kind of formative teaching about what are our circles, where are we actually investing our time? How do we effectively minister to these people? It's going to be really great. And I got a lot of expectations for Steve to deliver on, okay? That's week two. The second fallacy that I want to cover is that it needs to be done in a planned environment. It needs to be done in planned environments. And it never ceases to amaze me just how many people think, well, living on mission means being a part of a church outreach day where we go out and help people in the community. Or being on mission means going in with the church and on evangelism day where we go door to door. And being on the church means we have an event where we invite people in and we tell people about Jesus there. And what I love is actually those events. Those events are good, and they're a part of building momentum and being the church. So I'm not bad-mouthing those things, but those are like 5 days a year. And I think that when Jesus says, go and make disciples, there's like 360 other days a year where we can be on mission too. And so the class is called Life on Mission instead of Outreach Events on Mission, because I think that there's a part of this that needs to be in our whole lives. And so if that's the case, then we need to talk about what does it look like in our everyday lives. And I think that there's two common fallacies that I want to highlight about this. And the first one is perhaps the most prevalent of all the fallacies that I'm talking about in the church today. And that is the idea that living on mission, number three, is just being a good person. It's just being a good person. This is the idea that if we are kind to people and we treat them the way that we would want to be treated, right, the golden rule, that somehow they would experience that and want to put their faith in Jesus, even though we never actually spoke about Jesus to them. And I think this comes from a few different places, but one of them, at least for me, where this idea came into my mind, I think was a quote that I heard growing up. Here's a quote, maybe you've heard it as well. It says, "Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words, if necessary." And this quote kind of has this idea that our actions alone would be enough to lead others to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so I grew up thinking, you know what? This is great. I can be a guy who's kind to other people. I can open the door for them. I don't need to use profanities. I can wash my hands after I go to the bathroom, and I'm completing the Great Commission. You know, I'm being a good person. But the reality is that nothing in the Bible supports this notion that we don't actually need to talk about Jesus with others. In fact, the Apostle Paul agrees with me. Yes. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 14. Here's what he says. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." All right? This is the basic gospel message. Those who put their faith in Jesus, say, "Lord, I want you to be Jesus. You're the Lord of my life." You'll have eternal life. That's how it works. And he goes on. "And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher?" How can people just by how can people put their faith in Jesus unless somebody tells them about Jesus, right? Somebody has to go and be that messenger. Somebody has to go and be the preacher, as Paul talks about, to go and show them and share with them about that. So they actually need to hear it. And so I would say that every Christian needs to be able to articulate the gospel message to somebody else. That's like something that we should all know how to do. And so in this class, on weeks 3 and weeks 4, we're going to be talking about how do we have these conversations. Week 3 is going to be evangelism training, teaching, and we're going to be teaching a new way, a newer way to share your faith with other people, and it's going to be relevant, and it's going to be easy, okay? Relevant and easy. Relevance is really important because culture is changing. And so sometimes the methods that we use to share our faith, maybe we can think about how do we, you know, stay up with culture as it's evolving. And so I'm excited about sharing this. It's called the Three Circles, by the way. And then with that, easy is important because as the communicator, we want to feel comfortable saying what we're saying, right? I think we all agree with that. We want to feel confident. And so this method can actually be shared with someone in about 3 minutes. And I think it's something that everybody can do. And so I'm just excited about walking through this together, week 3. And week 4, we're going to be talking about how do we write and share our stories, right? God has given each of us, if you've put your faith in Jesus, a story about how he has come in and transformed your life. How do we share that with people as a tool for evangelism? And then with that, we're going to be talking about some spiritual conversation tips. You know, some, the reality is that a lot of us maybe feel nervous or maybe not confident in this stuff. And so maybe we can give some coaching on week 4 about how to do that. I'm looking forward to hearing from Mark and Erica with the teaching those weeks. And so coming back to fallacies and how we're living on mission, the fourth fallacy that I want to highlight is that it's just words, that living on mission is just words. And, you know, I just got to talking about how important words are, and they are, but words are only half of the communication package, perhaps. And I think there's a real reality that our actions send a message to. Maybe you guys have heard this phrase before. It's a common expression. It's that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I heard like 4 people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I think that's true here too with our how we share God's love and share his faith.
In today's society, people want to know that you care about them so that you can have that platform to speak into their lives and speak truth. And so Life on Mission isn't just words, it's actions too. And so the main point for today, it's kind of funny, I forgot to put it. It's such a big deal. I forgot to put it on the notes, and I forgot to put it on the slides. Can you believe that? I don't know what happened. There was a lot of notes or something. And so I want you to write it down right now, okay? If you got a pen, do this with me. This is the main point. Life on Mission is both showing and sharing the gospel. Life on Mission is both showing and sharing the gospel. That's what we're talking about in this class. How do we do that well and make a lifestyle out of it? In week five, Julianne is going to be helping to teach that class and run point with that one. And we're going to be talking about the reality that we are called to expand our circles and maybe think about what are ways that we are going to reach our community, partner with Westgate Chapel and our partners. Maybe there's some ministry God wants to do outside of our little circles that we already have. What does that look like? And then also the reality is that sometimes relationships can be challenging. And so how do we deal with some of those issues? And how do we get in the trenches and get in the mud and talk about that and some of the challenges that come up along the way. So looking forward to week five. And so that's coming up. And then the final fallacy that I want to talk about this morning is this one, number five, is that living on mission requires lots of knowledge and training. It requires lots of knowledge and training. You know, there's this idea that I believe is somewhat commonplace that if you're going to share your faith, if you're going to be a real ambassador for Jesus, then you need to have some real formal background. You need to be an expert on apologetics. You need to be an expert. You need to go to Bible college. Maybe you have to be a pastor or a missionary or whatever our thoughts are that we have. You have to have reached a certain category to be able to do this well. But the reality is that the Great Commission is for all disciples. It's something that you can do if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or for 50 years. And I want to tell you guys a story that just kind of illustrates this point. You know, I was in Crewe when I was a student, and I remember a hearing from somebody else that shared this story about a college student who showed up. She didn't have a big church background, but she went on a Crewe outreach day. And so they were going out, they're going to share their faith with other people. And before they did that, they had a 30-minute evangelism training. How do you share your faith with somebody? They gave them booklets to help use as a tool, right? And so then they sent them out. And so this college student goes out and she strikes up a conversation with another individual and she goes through the booklet with them. And so she goes through it. She gets to the point where it says, hey, would you like to make Jesus the Lord of your life? And she realizes in that moment that she hasn't ever made that decision before herself. And so she gets there and she realizes that and she says, you know, I need to make this decision too. And so in that moment, both her and the person she was sharing her faith with put their faith in Jesus Christ together. How does that happen? It happens because God's a part of it, right? It doesn't take a master's degree. It takes living on mission, being intentional. It takes the Holy Spirit doing work. I love in the Great Commission, sometimes we don't always read all of it, but it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And then in verse 20, Jesus says, and remember, I'm with you always. Wow. You guys, we can do this. And while you don't need tons of training to live on mission, I would definitely say that some basic training is helpful. And that's why we're doing this class. We're going to be giving you guys foundational tools so that we can feel comfortable and confident living this way and growing in this. We're going to be doing this as a church family. And one of the ways that we're going to be doing this is through our week six class called Building a Life on Mission. And I'm just excited to be teaching about what does it look like to make a lifestyle, fit this into like our daily routine. How do we really build lives on missions as we kind of wrap up and tie up the class together on week six? You guys, there's so much. This is going to be such a sweet and a great experience for our church family. And that's why we're doing all this. And I want us to kind of bring this all together right now with just one of my favorite things to do. If you've ever been in class with me, you'll probably see this as a bit of a pattern. But one of my favorite things to do is to do some sort of a self-assessment, okay? A self-assessment. And so what I did is on your notes, I think it's page 2, you'll see some questions there. And this is just an exercise that I created to help us just kind of think about how does this really look in our lives today, right? How does this translate? Where are we at? Let's make it real close to home and practical. So we're going to move through them quickly. That's okay. If you don't finish one, you can go and look at it later today throughout the week. We're going to kind of walk through these 8 questions and just write down whatever comes to mind. All right, number 1. If someone were to come up to me and ask me how to become a Christian, would I feel confident in knowing how to respond? Yes or no? Someone were to come up to me and ask me how to become a Christian, would I feel confident knowing how to respond? Yes or no? Number two, the last time I shared the truth about Jesus with another person was, when was the last time you shared the gospel message? Number three, the last time I prayed for an opportunity to share my faith was, last time I prayed for an opportunity to share my faith. Number four, on a scale from 1 to 10, how comfortable do I feel talking about faith-based topics with people outside of church? On a scale from 1 to 10, how comfortable do I feel talking about faith-based topics with people outside church? Just anything in general, faith-based. 1 is not comfortable. 10 is talk about it in your sleep. Number five, the non-believers who I try to show and share God's love with on a regular basis are, who are the people you're thinking about reaching that are non-believers? Number six, when I'm deciding how to spend my time, how does living missionally fit into my decision-making, right? And I know this is kind of an abstract question, but for the schedulers, maybe you think about this, or maybe you're more of the free spirit who just goes with the flow, but does thinking about living on mission enter into those thoughts? What does that look like? Number seven, on an average week, how many hours do I spend living on mission? And just ballpark number that comes to mind. You'll think about this more with your homework assignment that I got coming. But on an average week, how many hours do I spend living on mission? And number eight, one key area that I want to grow in when it comes to living on mission is... You know, I love self-assessments because they cause us to take a look in the mirror just to say, hey, how am I doing? How are things going? And sometimes what we see in that experience is something that's very encouraging and positive, and sometimes it's kind of challenging and something we have to kind of acknowledge and address. And I'm sure that there's a wide range of experiences in the room today and online as we go through that exercise together. But one of the things that I know that we all have in common, every person, is that we all have room to grow. We all have room to grow. Big things, little things. The reality is that none of us have arrived, and that's why we're doing this class, so that our church family could grow together in this topic. And it is going to be so worth it, you guys. If you're on the fence, I just want you to hear, there is going to be great exercise. It's going to be so practical. It's going to be so equipping for us as we think about building lives on mission. And so we're excited about offering this and going through it together. And with that, there is going to be some homework. I know maybe not everybody's a homework fan. I know, if I think about the idea of homework, sometimes that's kind of like, oh, I don't know if I am excited about doing that. But the reality is that as we do good homework assignments, they help us grow and develop in significant ways. And that's going to be true, I hope, in this class as well. And so on page 3 and page 4 of your handouts today, you're going to see that we have 2 homework assignments. The first one is going to be just about praying. It says, prayerfully make a list of 5 people that God might want you to minister to during this class. So make a list, think about that, pray about that, and then spend 15 minutes in prayer asking God to help you see them with his eyes, as Mark was talking about. That's assignment 1. The second assignment is going to be to take a time inventory. And so on the back page, we provided for you a weekly schedule for this week, April 11th through April 17th. And we want you to go through this each day, check back in, just write down things that you did that day that were on mission. They could be little things, big things, could be praying, could be talking to somebody. I gave you a huge list of examples on this page so you can just kind of get your brain stirring. How am I living on mission? And then on Saturday this week, we'd love for you, before you come back next week to class, to go through and do 4 self-response, self-reflection questions to kind of prepare for that. And in fact, bring those back next week. We're going to be having some time to debrief. It's also going to tie into Pastor Steve's teaching that we're going to be covering about living in our circles. And it's interesting to think about where we're spending our time and investing it. We're going to be using them in future weeks, this item in future weeks in the class too. And so we're providing you on your way out a cool home folder if you're planning on taking this class that you can grab today on your way out the doors at the tables and the entrances to pick up, and you can keep all your class notes in it throughout the next 5 weeks for this class. So that's the homework. Hope you guys are as pumped about homework as I am, kind of firing myself up about it. And I'm going to invite Jules to come up and share with us some closing logistics as we wrap up our class together.
Yeah, we're so excited. So if you guys jump back to page 2, we're relying heavily on these handouts, kind of like class, live stream people, westgatechapel.org/livestream. All this information is there, but we are just going to talk a little bit about what the next weeks look like. Obviously, this week we are in here together during the service. Live stream is available. The next weeks, we're going to be in the gym, and we're offering this class both at 9 a.m. and 10:45. So we
have same content.
Same content, same class. So you'll see there as our 3 class options that we will also have a Zoom option. So that being said, we would love for you to take this card and fill out when you'll think you'll be there. We would love for every person to take it, and we want you to figure out when it fits in your schedule. You can use this to say, even if you can only make it 3 weeks, great, let us know which one you plan to attend or whatever that might look like. This is just for us to have enough spacing. Our plan in there is to have round tables, 4 chairs at a table. We'll add as many chairs as we need. We'll make sure there's a safe socially distanced space as well for people that want extra socially distancing. But in those spaces, we can definitely have a lot more interaction, communication, discussion at the tables. We're really excited about that. And so we would love for you to sign up today on this, or westgatechapel.org/lifeonmission is kind of our hub of all the information. And so we're going to be using that for the next 5 weeks to get, we have the handout PDF there, we have the sign up form, all our people on live stream, we have a form for you to sign up, let us know how you want to take it. I should note that Pastor Glenn is going to be facilitating the Zoom call. So at 9 a.m. every week, we're going to have a Zoom option available. Again, westgatechapel.org/lifeonmission. You can jump in, and then we'll have the big teaching up front, zoomed in. And then for the breakouts, Pastor Glenn will be facilitating more small group conversations, so you can still engage with others as we figure out this life on mission together. So we have this way for you to sign up, the handouts, any class updates. We kind of just have this awesome hub for what we need. Is that...
That's awesome. And there's one more thought. There might be some people in the room today that are like, wow, I'm so excited about this, but I can only come to one service per Sunday. Mike, what do I do? And my personal encouragement would be to say, you know what? I'm going to attend the class in person, if that's you, but I'm going to watch the live stream recording on our website or YouTube page during the week so that you can kind of stay in touch with both, because this is really a class that if you can make it in person, it's going to be a cool opportunity to be there and get that full class feel. But definitely stay in touch with our congregation on the services as well.
So awesome. So on the screen right now, you can see that we just have one quick, this is part of our different learning styles. The questions are for you to process and then share with the person next to you. What are you excited about for this class? So what did you hear today that you're like, I want to learn more, I want to hear more, I just would love a refresher, or is there something, new that you learned? So think through those questions. Are you excited about something? Is there something you're nervous about? Or is there something new you heard today that you're like, I'm going to go focus on that? So take 10 seconds, think of your answer. Now turn to the person next to you, say your name if you've never met them before, and then answer that question. All right, what did you guys share? Sorry to cut you off.
Give them 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds.
We still have
30 more seconds.
Finish up. Make sure the other person shared. Will you guys share some of the things you're excited about? I would love to hear from you. I will repeat it so our live stream people can hear. Anything that you're excited about? I see excitement. I know you were saying something. Is there one thing that you're excited about in the next 5 weeks? I can tell you one person said, I'm super excited to take this with my high school son. His son is in high school, and they're just pumped to do this class together. Linda, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's a great question, Linda. We're going to be offering our regular services for the next 5 weeks. Pastor Rob's kicking off a new sermon series, and so absolutely we'll be offering services as normal for anybody who's interested. Yeah, Linda's asking about it, if you feel like you don't need it. I'd encourage everybody to come and to take this class as a refresher, no matter where you are, no matter how confident you're in. It's just fun to do this as a church family together. And so that's our encouragement, is to, even if you feel like you're an expert, just to come and do this together.
And encourage others.
Yeah.
That's what someone said.
Yeah, encourage others. And yeah.
So that's where we are at. We are so excited. I'm going to pray for us just as we process all these things, as we walk into this week and notice. And then we will be back in the gym next Sunday for the next 5 weeks. But yes, if you'll join me in prayer. God, thanks for being here. Thank you. As we gather in your name, we know that you are here. It's fun to see this room full of people that are living life on mission and others that have spaces that they're noticing to grow. I heard someone after first service say, I've been really struggling with my time, and I prayed for God to help me, and then he put a time inventory in the notes, God. And so as she walks into this week, as each of us walk into this week, we pray that we will just notice our life with you. We'll notice where we spend our time, when we see you, and when we get lost in selfish thoughts and just busyness, Lord. Illuminate these things to us. May we remember that we do not have to do this alone, that we get to do this with you, God. We get to do this with the Holy Spirit, and then so fun that we can do this together as a church. Body, all ages, different walks of life, but we are in this life on mission together. So we thank you, God. We're excited to see what you're going to do through this course. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. On your way out, feel free to, if you feel inclined to place your offerings in the baskets on your way out, you can also give at westgatechapel.org. And we do have a prayer room open today out these doors down the hall to the right, or you can send in your prayers at prayer@westgatechapel.org and email those in to us. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Have a good week.